that the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. Amen. The news can be discouraging. Local news is little more than a crime report detailing vandalism, robbery, and homicide. National news reports on the blunders and crimes of government officials. World news may be most disheartening, as it is on the grandest scale. Reports of natural disasters, wars and threats of wars, and the migration of refugees. The media report on such things because these are the things people wish to hear. Yet some long for some good news, something encouraging and uplifting. They would like to hear that the problems of the world can be solved. The ancient world was no different in this respect. In fact, that world was, in many ways, much worse off than our own. Famine, disease, slavery, and all on a scale greater than in our own time. The Jews of the ancient world longed for good news. They waited for the Christ to come and liberate them, and to rule righteously on the earth. The gospel of Jesus Christ was this good news. Saint Mark writes in his gospel, "Now after that John was put in prison, Jesus came into Galilee preaching the gospel of the kingdom of God and saying, 'The time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent ye and believe the gospel.'" The word gospel comes from the Old English word gospel. It is a translation of the New Testament Greek word that means good tidings or good news. It must be understood, first of all, that the gospel is the good news of the kingdom of God. The gospel is not simply that Jesus' death was an atonement for sins, and that whoever believes that has forgiveness. The gospel is that, but it is much more. The gospel is personal, but it is also cosmic in its import. The gospel is that the righteous reign of the Son of God has come into the world. When God made Adam and placed him in the Garden of Eden, he told him that if he ate from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, then he would die. The serpent tempted Adam's wife Eve, who then gave to her husband, and he ate. In this way, all of mankind became subject to death. So, as Jesus said, the devil is a murderer. He is a genocidal maniac. Satan's scheme was a case of cosmic entrapment. Not only did he lead men into temptation, but he accuses them before God of being sinners. Satan's very name means accuser. So the prophet Zechariah records, "And he showed me Joshua the high priest standing before the angel of the Lord, and Satan standing at his right hand to resist him," that is to say, to accuse him. All mankind have feared death, and so have been in the grip of the devil, because he accuses them before God. Men are subject to death. They are also in bondage to sin, and they cannot free themselves. Apart from God's grace, they can do nothing but sin, and they have ruined the good world that God has made. However, after Adam and Eve sinned, God, in his great mercy, proclaimed the first gospel, a message of hope and salvation. He said to the serpent, "I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed. It shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel." This seed is, of course, the Christ, the Son of the living God. And as St. John wrote, "For this purpose the Son of God was manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil." Sometime after the fall of man into sin, man called upon the name of the Lord. However, it was not until God called Abraham that he began to redeem entire groups of people. When God called Abraham, he told him, "In thee shall all families of the earth be blessed." That is to say, God would not redeem only a few people here and there. He would not redeem only the Hebrews. He would redeem entire nations. And so he would have the entire world put right with him. St. Paul, in his epistle to the Galatians, calls this the gospel. He says, "And the scripture, foreseeing that God would justify the heathen through faith, preached before the gospel unto Abraham, saying, In thee shall all nations be blessed." God told Abraham he would make of him a great nation, and so he did. He gave them his wise and righteous law, a law that the nations would imitate. He told Abraham that kings would come from him, and so they did. God was not pleased with the first king, Saul, however, and he replaced him with David, a man after his own heart. God made a covenant with David, promising him that his dynasty would not end. He promised David that one of his own descendants would succeed him and rule forever. He told him, "And when thy days be fulfilled, and thou shalt sleep with thy fathers, I will set up thy seed after thee, which shall proceed out of thy bowels, and I will establish his kingdom. He shall build an house for my name, and I will establish the throne of his kingdom forever. I will be his father, and he shall be my son. If he commit iniquity, I will chasten him with the rod of men, and with the stripes of the children of men. But my mercy shall not depart away from him, as I took it from Saul, whom I put away before thee. And thine house and thy kingdom shall be established forever before thee. Thy throne shall be established forever." For many years, righteous Israelites waited expectantly for this righteous king. Israelites like Simeon and Anna. They saw him and were glad. God sent John the Baptist to prepare the way for this king, in fulfillment of the prophecy of Malachi, who prophesied, "Behold, I will send my messenger, and he shall prepare the way before me." John was the Elijah that God promised to send before the great and dreadful day of the Lord. John warned the people to flee from the wrath to come upon Israel for their great sins, and he called them to repentance. He even called to repentance that old fox, King Herod, who had taken to himself his brother's wife. For this, Herod put John in prison. It was then that Jesus began preaching the gospel of the kingdom of God. John had prepared the way. Jesus' gospel was, "The time is fulfilled, and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent ye and believe the gospel." Many generations before, the northern kingdom of Israel had been destroyed by the Assyrians, and the southern kingdom by the Babylonians, and this for the sins of the people. However, God had revealed through the prophet Daniel, four kingdoms would precede the restoration of the kingdom of Israel. These have been commonly understood to be the Babylonian, the Medo-Persian, the Greek, and the Roman. Moreover, Daniel revealed that 483 years after the Persian emperor issued a decree to rebuild the temple in Jerusalem, the Christ would appear. So it was in the time of the Roman Empire that God sent his Son to establish his kingdom. Jesus said that the time had come. Furthermore, the law of God, which showed his righteous nature, also showed the sinful nature of men who sinned against it. The law showed men their sinful natures and their need for a Redeemer. And the time for that Redeemer had come. Jesus preached to the people to repent and believe the gospel. The people of Israel had years before rebelled against God, and the prophet Isaiah had prophesied their captivity in Babylon as punishment. However, he also prophesied their redemption and the restoration of Zion. He said, "For thus saith the Lord, ye have sold yourselves for naught, and ye shall be redeemed without money. For thus saith the Lord God, my people went down aforetime into Egypt to sojourn there, and the Assyrian oppressed them without cause. Now therefore, what have I here, saith the Lord, that my people is taken away for naught? They that rule over them make them to howl, saith the Lord, and my name continually every day is blasphemed. Therefore my people shall know my name. Therefore they shall know in that day that I am he that doth speak. Behold, it is I. How beautiful upon the mountains are the feet of him that bringeth good tidings, that publisheth peace, that bringeth good tidings of good, that publisheth salvation, that saith unto Zion, thy God reigneth." Isaiah's prophecy had its literal fulfillment. The people of Israel did return from exile in Babylon, and they did rebuild the temple. However, it also had another fulfillment. Those who believe in Christ are delivered from their bondage to sin, and they are living stones that comprise a new temple of God in a new Jerusalem. Isaiah's prophecy is the origin of the notion of the gospel, the good news of God's delivering his people from their sins and the establishment of his righteous reign on earth. St. Paul, writing of those who preach the gospel, quoted the prophet, "How beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things." Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God, who brings deliverance to his people. He is the heir of David's throne. St. Paul opens his epistle to the Romans with a summary of the gospel. He writes, "Paul, a servant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle, separated unto the gospel of God, which he had promised afore by his prophets in the Holy Scriptures, concerning his Son, Jesus Christ our Lord, which was made of the seed of David according to the flesh, and declared to be the Son of God with power, according to the Spirit of holiness, by resurrection from the dead, by whom we have received grace and apostleship for obedience to the faith among all nations for his name, among whom are ye also the called of Jesus Christ." This good news, St. Paul said, is nothing new. It was promised by God through the prophets and recorded in Scripture. God promised to David an heir to his throne, and he promised that that heir would reign forever. The people of Israel understood this promise, and they waited for this Christ to come. However, when Jesus predicted his death, the people were confused. They said to him, "We have heard out of the law that Christ abideth forever, and how sayest thou, the Son of Man must be lifted up? Who is this Son of Man?" They could not believe he was the Christ if he were to die, for the Christ was to reign forever. They did not understand that in order to reign forever, he had to die so that God could raise him to eternal life. St. Paul wrote, "Christ, being raised from the dead, dieth no more. Death hath no more dominion over him." Moreover, God's raising Jesus from the dead proved that he is the Christ, the Son of God. For David wrote in the Psalms of the Christ, "For thou wilt not leave my soul in hell, neither wilt thou suffer thine Holy One to see corruption." St. Paul wrote that God had called him to preach this gospel to the Gentiles so that the nations might be brought to faith. As soon as man committed the first sin, God promised in the first gospel to destroy the works of the devil. St. John said it was for this that the Son of God came. How did he do it? How did he destroy the works of the devil? By forgiving men's sins, freeing them from sin's bondage, and giving them eternal life. Men deserve death for their sins, but God has desired to save some. So he gave his only begotten Son, a sacrifice for their sins. Christ's death atones for their sins, so that those who believe in him have forgiveness and stand before God as righteous. Moreover, he has given them the Holy Spirit to empower them to resist temptation and to do what is right. Looked at another way, those who believe in Christ are joined to him in mystical union. They are united with him in death and resurrection. So they have died to sin and have been freed from its bondage and raised to new life. They no longer serve sin, but Christ. The righteous reign of the Lord Jesus Christ is not like the reign of earthly kings. He told the Roman governor of Judea, Pontius Pilate, that his kingdom is not of this world. It is a spiritual reign, a reign over the hearts and minds of men. Moreover, his reign has neutralized the devil, for his accusations are now without merit. As St. John wrote in the Revelation, "And I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, Now is come salvation and strength and the kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ. For the accuser of our brethren is cast down, which accused them before our God day and night." What is the good news for people today? It is the same as it has always been. It is, simply put, repent and believe the gospel. Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. He died and was buried, and he rose from the dead, never to die again. He is, therefore, the heir to David's throne, the ruler of the kingdom of God on earth. His death atones for sins, and his resurrection gives new life. If anyone would have forgiveness and new life, then he must repent of his sins and confess Jesus as Lord. he must be subject to Christ. As St. Paul wrote, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Blessing and honor and glory and power be unto him that sitteth upon the throne, and unto the Lamb, forever and ever. Amen.